Mark Simone on the voice of New York, 710 WOR.
Hey, it's a beautiful sunny day outside. Lots to talk about. The president will make a statement soon on Syria, as Russia and Turkey have reached a deal, apparently. Now, if you're a part of the swamp there, we've abandoned the Kurds. We are our allies. We've abandoned the Kurds. If you talk to them 2 weeks before all of this, they never heard of the Kurds, never mentioned the Kurds, never thought about the Kurds. Now suddenly they're our allies. We must remain there forever. We haven't abandoned the Kurds. We've been negotiating furiously for their safety. The vice president, the secretary of state, even flying over to Turkey to work out this deal to create, what do we create? A safe zone?
Safe zone, yes.
A safe zone that's not really a safe zone, but...
not safe for some people.
But, it's not that safe, but it looks like a safe zone, close enough. But that's all you can really do in a case like this. I mean, I really don't think there's any American outside the bubble or the swamp who really wants American troops over there fighting and losing their lives over this.
Right.
So that's all we can do is try to negotiate for them, try to get them some kind of agreement to... just to guarantee their safety. But no American troops are going into combat over the Kurds. Not going to happen. And suddenly the whole swamp, everybody's a neocon. We got to be involved in foreign wars. Remember Iraq? The fuss, the fight?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. And in that case, it was WMD. It was also that we were fighting Al-Qaeda and chasing the terrorists. And as it was pointed out to Bush, Hussein in Iraq, he's the guy that'll take in the terrorists. He's the guy that'll give them shelters. You're going to have to take this. So that was the main reason. But remember the fuss over that?
Sure.
Does anybody remember the Halliburton scandal? They made up this whole fake scandal about Halliburton. It had nothing to do with Dick Cheney or Bush. Halliburton was a leftover contractor from the Clinton years. Clinton had all the same contracts with Halliburton. But for the whole 8 years of Bush, there were hearings on Halliburton. Who was that guy, that sleazy? He was the Adam Schiff of his day. Waxman, Henry Waxman.
Oh, yeah.
The congressman from California with that little silent movie villain mustache. And they were holding hearings on how did Halliburton get this contract? Why are they getting these contracts? Because they always got these contracts. The same contracts they had with Clinton. They had these hearings every day till the day Bush left office and Obama took over. Obama gave Halliburton the same exact contract, same exact dollar amount, everything for the next 8 years, but suddenly they never mentioned it again.
No, it was on. That's okay.
Yeah, so there's always, remember, Bush was a racist. Reagan was a racist. Yeah. Reagan is dumb. Bush is, everybody's yeah. dumb, a racist. They're all crooks. And then this is tradition now. And then the game is they do this to you, and like Reagan or Bush, you keep quiet. You act presidential, you don't respond. Give Bush and Cheney credit. Never responded once.
That's true, yeah.
Never. You could have easily defended the Halliburton stuff. Bush and Cheney never responded. Cheney had been the chairman of Halliburton and left, and on bad terms, pretty much. He could have come out and said, when did you ever hear of a guy leaving a company and then fighting to get his replacement good numbers? Who would ever do that? Didn't even make any sense. But they never responded. That's the tradition. You keep quiet. They call you a racist, an idiot, a thief, and you keep quiet. So Trump comes in and doesn't play the game. Anything they hit him with, he punches right back. And it just riles them up. You know, it's like if a mad dog, a dog is barking at you, maybe he'll stop. But if you start barking right back at him and yelling, he'll just bark more. You can get the dog. It's a mad dog. You can get him even crazier. So that's what Trump does with these people. Every time they attack... he punches back, and it just riles them up.
Well, he's doing a heck of a job of riling things up.
Now, some argue, well, if he hadn't, why does he have to tweet? Why does he have to say these things? Why can't he just act presidential? Yeah, it's not his style.
Can't he just, like, keep quiet for
here
a day?
Here he goes. Here he goes.
Maybe just one day. Try not responding, not sending out these tweets that get everybody all whacked out. Just one day. Put it down. Put the phone down. Don't use it.
But on the other hand, here's a guy, his father was very successful in real estate. So he goes into real estate. He's like 10 times more successful than his father ever was. And his father was a huge success. Then he tries to do his first TV show ever. It's number one, and it runs for 14 seasons. Then he tries to go into politics. You see a lot of business guys go into politics. They run for Congress. You know, they don't get it the first. Guy, first time he ever tries politics, he's president of the United States. So whatever he's doing, it seems to be a winning formula in any field he tries it in.
Yeah, well, he could use a little advice.
For what?
Come on. For what? He could use a little advice.
Okay, tell me how he could be more successful if you look back at his life.
I think he could be a less volatile in terms of, you know, defending himself against these charges. They're going to fall apart on their own.
Okay, if he, in a year from now, wins 42 states and it's reelected, would you then say, maybe whatever he does is working?
He's probably going to win 42 states.
Exactly. So then at what point do you say, you know, I can't act like that and I could never behave like that, well, but it works for him.
I just think it would be helpful for the country if we could kind of tone down the fighting.
But then the argument is, if he had toned it down, would they have toned it down? You know, he never attacks anybody unless he's attacked first. That's one thing about him.
Yeah.
So would they have toned it down?
Probably not.
No. And you're seeing total corruption in the media, the New York Times, the Bezos Post, all of that stuff. The networks, total corruption. They're making up stories. They're making stories out of nothing that doesn't exist. They're deliberately not investigating the other side, deliberately. You know, when he brought up this Hunter Biden stuff, it's pretty obvious. New York Times, everybody was ordered, don't investigate Hunter Biden.
Totally debunked, Mark.
totally debunked. No, actually, they said, there's no evidence of any wrongdoing because they deliberately ordered everybody not to ask a single question or investigate. You would think the New York Times, if this were anybody else on earth, would have sent a team of reporters to the Ukraine, find out what he did, how he got the job. You would think somebody would say to Joe Biden, "What? How did your son get this job? What did he exactly do for this company?"
Yeah.
And when Biden said, you know, my son never even mentioned this to me. We never discussed it once. To have the Chuck Todds of the world go, okay, our next question is.
Yeah, that's a whopper.
It's pretty corrupt. So now, what about this impeachment? Have they damaged Trump? Well, let's look at the last month. He just set his all-time record for fundraising. He raised more money in the last month than ever before. And in the last month, he picked up 300,000 brand-new first-time donors. So what does that tell you?
Yeah, he must be doing something right.
Yeah, so now you might say, but in every poll, Biden beats him, Warren beats him. Every poll, talk about corruption. Every poll is rigged, totally rigged. And then, you know, you got these, everything they try fails. You know, they try this Mitt Romney, just a weirdo loser this guy has turned out to be. You got all these people attacking. Then you get these swamp creatures, this Lindsey Graham. You don't know what side he's on.
This is a lynching in every sense. This is un-American.
Look how he's defending Trump.
Yeah. Nobody's saying that the president is going to be physically hurt here, but this is mob rule. That's what lynching is all about.
There is no better defender or better friend to Donald Trump than Lindsey Graham. That's today. Now wait till Thursday. You're going to see a whole different guy. Now he's going to be attacking him. I don't know why the hell he wanted this job. He could have stayed in New York, could have sat in his office, had fun all day. Why would you want to even go to this swamp?
No, I'm sure he's having fun.
Well, actually, he is. He loves this kind of stuff. So now, this emoluments clause stuff. And again, you got to keep repeating this. Emoluments clause does not apply to a pre-existing business. Five presidents would have been wiped out if it did, including George Washington. His business was his plantation. And they made tobacco. That was their main thing. And Washington gets into office and is negotiating international tobacco prices, making himself a fortune. So, but it's a pre-existing business. Now, NBC News, you've seen them report on this emoluments clause. Mm-hmm. Well, it turns out NBC News has the sleaziest management. You got this Andy Lack. You got this, what's his name? Noah Oppenheim. Mm-hmm. Andy Lack has Me Too sexual harassment allegations against him. One from Jane Wallace, very credible newswoman. They looked the other way on Matt Lauer. They said they didn't know. Everybody knew. I knew a million. I don't even work there. I knew. So can imagine if you're there 10 feet away from Matt Lauer, how could you say you didn't know? You got Ann Curry says she knew. All these other people say they knew. So it turns out this Oppenheimer is guilty of emoluments violations. He's been profiting personally, besides his salary, off NBC News. His wife wrote a couple of children's books.
Yes.
Somehow the Today Show had to book his wife for segments. Other NBC shows had to put his wife on to promote the book. It looks a little sleazy, doesn't it?
It's been investigated thoroughly. No wrongdoing.
Yeah, it's been investigated thoroughly. This is, as Chuck Todd would say, this has been totally debunked. That's debunked. And I said this without evidence.
That's right.
That's another one they use. Like the president one. Said, without evidence. How do you know he said it without evidence? He's got his own CIA, FBI, Department of Justice. He's got a million investigators. But Chuck Todd always says it's without evidence that he said this. So, now, Mayor de Blasio, and thanks to Michael Goodwin, he put it in his column today, as we suggested yesterday, this Rikers Island, closing Rikers Island, is the biggest act of political corruption ever in the history of New York. This is one expensive act of corruption, closing Rikers Island. It's on an island, which is obviously the most desirable place in the world to put a prison. Nothing is more secure than an island. They want to close it and spend $9 billion. If you go back 6 months or a year or 2 years, weren't they always yelling they don't know, they have to raise taxes or put in congestion? We don't have enough money for roads.
That's correct, yeah.
So we didn't have enough money. Now we have an extra $9 billion lying around for a totally unnecessary project. $9 billion for by the way, to build these four prisons, probably the cost would be $800 million. But they're going to spend $9 billion on it. And you can read Michael Goodwin's column today about the corruption of de Blasio, the city council. They're all bought off on this scheme. You notice the governor's very silent on this.
Yeah.
So they got to everybody, Albany, everywhere, this prison scheme. And now what's the mayor yelling about nightlife for?
It's too noisy on the Lower East Side.
Yeah, it's too noisy. It's causing problems. The Lower East Side, if you don't keep up on this, is the nightlife capital of New York.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
The Lower East Side is where all the hot clubs are. Vandal was the first, this Mark Packer place, and then all the others opened. And you see, the way it used to be, I'm trying to remember back the history of this. If you go back to the 90s, Park Avenue South became the nightlife capital. There was Stringfellows. There was, I'm trying to remember all these places. LaBar Bat, all these places were the hot spots, like 19th Street, 20th, 21st, Park Avenue South. And there was incredible clubs and nightlife. But surrounding them were all these apartment buildings. So the neighbors went crazy, yelling and screaming about the noise, which they're not wrong. I mean, if you had a nightclub down the block, screaming and yelling and shootings and stabbings, it upsets the neighbors. So then this was the greatest invention ever was the meatpacking district, because all the clubs moved to the meatpacking district, and it's the one, it's still like the million clubs, restaurants. Nobody lives there. It's perfect. There's no apartment building. You make all the noise in the world. It was perfect. And I don't know how did the Lower East Side start as the nightclub?
I guess because it might have been cheap housing. A lot of young kids went there.
I guess. Somehow, like Vandal was the first, and there were a million clubs. Now it's all clubs and nightlife, and the mayor is on top of this. Why? Because obviously some landlords hired the right lobbyists, made the right donations, and now he's on.
For everyone who comes here to enjoy it, here's a simple message. Just because you had a great party doesn't mean the Lower East Side should be left with a hangover.
What the hell is he saying? I don't get that at all. What does that mean?
No, you make too much noise and it upsets the neighbors.
But I'm a 24-year-old millennial. If I had a good time, case closed. That's all I care about.
That's true.
I don't care if the neighborhood had a hangover.
It's going to mean quieter streets, less honking, fewer people who are partying on the street as opposed to inside. I mean, trash being picked up more frequently.
Oh, there you go. So what is he actually proposing now?
Well, they're going to limit the parking in certain areas.
Parking? There's no millennial in these clubs who ever has had a car.
It's the Ubers. I don't know.
First word when they're born is Uber. No millennials ever worried about parking. They don't even know what that is.
Yeah, and the street sweepers will come later in the night.
So what a change.
Clean in the morning.
It'll be a different world. Street sweepers. Is that the thing with the little brush that swirls around?
Yeah.
Nobody knows what the hell that does.
It must clean the streets.
The thing goes half a mile an hour with a brush swirling around in a circle. And after it's gone, you look and you can't see what changed after that thing passed by. It's like a useless Zamboni coming down the street. Anyway, this is just to him being paid off by whoever's down
somebody
there.
Somebody had to be. Somebody, some big donor.
Some donor needed this cleaned up. So I don't know what this means. Hey, the transit system. There's a guy named Andy Byford. He's the transportation commissioner?
No, New York City Transit president.
Out of the whole thing, he's the only good guy there. He's like Joe Loda, who was an expert on this. Loda got disgusted and walked out. Byford ran the transit system in Toronto, then London. All he cares about is fixing the subways, making everything work right. He's not used to these politicians using the MTA as a piggy bank, robbing the money out of there. Is he staying?
Yes, he's staying.
He put in his resignation, which means bad stuff is happening there.
But he didn't get along with Cuomo. There was some dispute with Cuomo.
Yeah, the dispute is Cuomo takes all the money out of the transit for so he can put lights on bridges and buy election gimmicks and all the money for the parts. You know, Cuomo said, well, look at this, new subway cars. That doesn't do anything for anybody. It's plenty of subway cars. The problem is the parts, switches, pumps, plugs, fans. That's what keeps it moving. He takes all that money out for the maintenance. Byford is staying.
I had a few concerns that I want.
He's the funniest guy in the world. Because first time I ever met him, I was going to meet the transit commissioner in New York. I was expecting the guy to go, hey, how are you? You know, you figure a guy from Staten Island. Here's the transit commissioner.
I had a few concerns that I wanted addressed. I have discussed those concerns with my MTA bosses. Those concerns have been satisfactorily addressed. So I'm very pleased to say I'm here for the long term.
You know how you can't understand one word on the announcement in the subway car? All you hear is, they ought to have this guy do it. This guy speaks perfectly.
I like this guy.
Yeah. So he's staying. That's good. So obviously he's gotten something done for us. Check out the webpage. There's a lot of good stuff up there. So when they tell you the president's destroying America, destroying our democracies, ruined the whole country, here's a list. We've updated it. It's up on the website. In fact, you can pass this around, you can print this out, carry it with you at all times. It's a list of all the accomplishments so far of this administration. It's pretty impressive. Look at this list and tell me this is not one of the most successful presidencies ever, despite all the screaming. We got that up on the webpage. Also, this is a very funny sketch. This is a look at every Californian ever. Also, it's the first president not to have a dog. But they asked the dog expert of the world, what would be the perfect dog for Donald Trump? It's all up on the webpage. Go to 710WOR.com/Mark. 710WOR.com/Mark.
Live from the iHeart Tower in Tribeca, Mark Simone on the Voice of New York, 710WOR.
Hey, we'll take some calls. 800-321-0710 is the number. Evil Megyn Kelly. What is up with her? Why did we suddenly see her? She's trying to figure out how to get back on the air. She wants to launch a comeback. Everybody can't stand this woman, whoever worked with her. She's Evil Megyn Kelly. Think of the worst person you ever had in your company, in your workplace, who everybody hated, who treated everybody like crap, and multiplied by a billion. And that's pretty much her. So she can't go back to Fox. She was a guest on the Tucker Carlson show. They're friendly, so he invited her on. Fox immediately put out a statement reassuring viewers, don't worry, she's not coming back. She'll never work here again. NBC, they couldn't throw her out of the building fast enough. So why now? Why a comeback? And where would she go? There's stuff behind the scenes with her. I'm sure every other broadcast network knows about. Probably they don't want to deal with, so... There's a movie coming out. That's what this is all about. It's coming out in December. It's called Bombshell. And it's about Roger Ailes and Me Too and Fox and all that. So did you ever see the miniseries on Roger Ailes?
Yeah. Haven't we been through this?
Yeah. What was it called? I can't remember. Oh, The Loudest Voice. Yeah. It was based on the Gabe Sherman book. And I watched every episode, and then I knew everybody who was in all of those scenes, and I would call them after every episode. Half the stuff in the movie was true. Half the stuff totally made up in fiction. Have you seen the end yet?
The final scene? Yeah.
Where he's called to Murdoch's apartment and he's fired.
Yeah.
And he starts screaming like a maniac. Mm-hmm. And none of that ever happened. Nothing like that happened. That never happened.
Oh.
There was no such scene. There was no such firing in the apartment. It was when it was time to get rid of him, they did it very calmly. It was negotiated out with his attorneys and their attorneys.
Yeah, that's the way Fox does it, right?
Yeah, it was very calm, very orderly, and at some point they made a settlement. And then he was called to the Murdoch's apartment because at the end, Murdoch thought, this is no way to end things, lawyers to lawyers. Let's have a nice, friendly lunch. they asked Ailes to come to lunch at the apartment with Rupert Murdoch and his sons, and they had a nice lunch. Now, people that were there say it was a little tense, it was a little awkward, and I noticed nobody really ate much or anything, but it was half fiction, that miniseries. So there's a new movie called Bombshell. This is going to be a major movie. Who is it? Somebody famous plays Megyn Kelly. There's a bunch of famous actors and actresses in this. It's the same thing. Now, by the way, that Showtime miniseries on Roger Ailes was a ratings bomb, because if you worked at Fox or somewhere, you're a Fox hater at NBC, maybe you find this interesting. But to the general public, they're not worried about, let me see the inner story of Bill Shine and Roger Ailes. Most people just weren't interested.
It's true.
So in the new movie, they make Megyn Kelly heroic. They make Gretchen Carlson heroic. So she wants to get the comeback going. She thinks this movie will help bring her back. I don't think so. But anyway, let's go to Dr. Bob in Long Island. Hey, Dr. Bob.
Yes, hello, Mark. Mark, I was wondering, President Trump is so good at branding people, giving them nicknames and whatever. Why doesn't he approach the Democrat Party as a misnomer and give it the proper name? It should be called the Socialist, Communist Party of America.
Well, I think he's done that.
Taken over.
Yeah.
Taken over. But he should really, it really would change the whole argument. He's being attacked by a non-democratic entity.
Well, you know him. He doesn't like to badmouth anybody. He doesn't. That's not his nature to be insulting like that. He doesn't want to be judgmental. That's not him. Let's go to Largo in Westport. Hey, Largo.
Yeah.
Yes.
How you doing? I'm calling about the Kurds. I think you and the president are way off base on that. By my count, since the Iraqi war, it's been at least 6 or 7 times that we washed our hands and just walked away from them when they finished doing our dirty work.
Yes.
They were very effective, the most effective fighters against ISIS in the area.
Okay,
the
I know. Listen, they've been helpful to us. How many troops do you want to send?
I'm not talking about troops, but it may be time to take some action with.
Well, we are taking action. You got the vice president negotiating, got the secretary of state over there negotiating. There's plenty of negotiating on their behalf.
And you've got Erdogan negotiating with Putin.
Yeah, no, but we have been fighting as hard diplomatically for the Kurds as we possibly can. What else would you do? Would you send troops?
I don't think I'd send troops at this point, but they definitely hold out. They're paying.
So okay, then you and President Trump are in total agreement. You and President Trump are lined up exactly. He thinks do it through negotiation, no troops, and you agree.
I think the big question you've got to ask is what are they doing in NATO? They're using NATO as a foil against Russia, and Russia is a foil against NATO.
It sounds exactly like Donald Trump. He's been questioning NATO, what the hell they're doing in there, and maybe we should redo NATO. Let's go to Dave in Chicago. Dave, we got about 30 seconds.
Mark, President Trump's interview with Sean Hannity, he said he's canceling the subscription to the Times and the Washington Post because of unfair coverage. This is one of the reasons why he has to Twitter, because it's unfiltered.
Yeah, no, I understand. I haven't read the New York Times in probably 4 years or 5 years. I never look at it. It's just problem with they see some of the New York Times. Now you got to spend 20 minutes Googling it to see if it's even true. So, hey, when we come back, Ann Coulter will be with us. We'll talk to her next.
Put a little more Mark Simone in your day. Get his podcast on demand at 710WOR.com/Mark. Mark Simone.
On the voice of New York.
710WOR.
Well, Ann Coulter, of course, the best-selling author. If you don't have her latest book, it's a huge bestseller, and it's probably the best book she's ever written. Resistance is Futile. Get the book. Also, of course, follow her on Twitter, Ann Coulter at Twitter and AnnCoulter.com. New column comes out tonight. Ann Coulter, how you doing?
Fine, thanks. How are you, Mark Simone?
Very good. So what do you think? The people say that they have to impeach him now. They're too far into the process. There's no way to stop it at this point.
Well, the only thing they're far into is their hysteria. I mean, the Ukraine business is even sillier than the Russia collusion claim, but they want to impeach him. They hate him. They find him icky. I think it's really boring, and most Americans, the vast, vast, vast majority of Americans are not paying attention and don't care, and nor should they care. Every time President Trump exercises the office of the presidency, they go crazy. And you can always, I mean, as some of this is the comparisons are gone through in resistance is futile. But just a quick example, that hysteria over Trump firing Comey, because the Russia story was nonsense. Of course the president has the authority to fire people who work for him, and in fact to direct investigations. You can go through Nexus and find headline after headline of Obama and Clinton and Bush ordering investigations, ordering his Department of Justice and FBI to do this investigation, that investigation. In the Clinton years, as Osama bin Laden was carefully plotting the 9/11 attack, Clinton ordered his FBI to direct its focus to abortion clinic protesters. So that was the big FBI agents kept contacting me. I was just starting to be a journalist, and independently, different FBI agents kept demanding that we meet so I could write about this. I didn't write about it at the time, I guess I should have, but they said all of our resources are being devoted to chasing ghosts. there are a few wackos. I think in since Roe v. Wade, and it actually the shootings and the violence didn't start until Roe v. Wade was upheld in the Casey decision, but I think that like 7 abortion doctors had been shot. I'm not approving that, but that isn't 9/11.
Yeah. So.
And yeah, of course presidents do this, but if Trump does it, for obvious reasons, and we now know it was an obvious and true reason, there was no Russian collusion, that they treat that as an impeachable crime. And in the case of Ukraine, it's even stranger because the thing Trump wanted investigated was a far more egregious, among other things, a far more egregious example of what he's doing, alleged to have done, specifically Biden holding up $1 billion in aid to protect his son. Not to protect the, you know, America's trying to keep countries on the straight and narrow and cleaning out corruption, and also to get to the bottom of where the Russian collusion story started, as I described when this story first broke. It was CrowdStrike, a Ukrainian-funded cybersecurity firm that is the sole source of the claim that it was Russia that hacked the DNC, and CrowdSource happens to have been funded and founded by anti-Russian oligarchs. So, yeah, I think a lot of us would like to know how this Russia hysteria started.
Yeah, so, hey, you know, this is interesting. This is just developing. They're going to have this conference in Saudi Arabia. They're calling it Davos of Saudi Arabia. Now, you remember all the swamp people yelling about Jamal Khashoggi, we must boycott Saudi Arabia, we must stand up to them. Well, it turns out they're all going to this conference, every hedge fund guy, every billionaire, every Bloomberg is sending it down, the Washington Post are all going. You can't trust anybody in that swamp, can you?
No, you cannot. You cannot. That is something we are getting out of Trump. He is exposing the double dealing and corruption. It really is. It's a lot. There's an excellent article for any of you who have time to read it in the Claremont Review about Brexit and why Brexit hasn't gone through. Because I have to say, I don't really pay attention to other countries. I care more about my country. But it is kind of weird that it's been, 3 years now since the British people voted in an election that got more votes than any other election in Britain's history. No other election has come within 3 million votes of it. Voted very clearly to leave the EU, and it still hasn't happened. And Christopher Caldwell, who wrote the article, he doesn't make this exact comparison, but it is an exact comparison to what is happening to Trump. It's the swamp of these international globalist bureaucrats. They are just indignant over the British people, who are just, you know, they're like MAGA supporters. They're normal people. They vote for this, and then it can't happen. And you have the bureaucrats with all their little tricks and their slick language coming up with excuses. And no, the British only voted for permission to leave the EU, but we have to decide that. No, they don't.
Yeah.
They don't. Just leave. And it's the same thing with Trump. We voted for Trump, but we have lots of tricks. We have lots of ways. We're going to bog him down with this stupid investigation. We're going to stage impeachment. We're going to be hysterical about every little thing he does. Trump should just mostly ignore it and, as I believe I may have mentioned before, keep his promises to the voters. That's what matters most of all.
Yeah, now, the idea of Brexit, the British voters voted that we'd like to control our own country. We don't like having two bureaucrats in Brussels decide what we're allowed to do, control our borders for us. That's why they want out. They want to leave the EU, Brexit. But you're right, these Soros-funded swamp globalists are everywhere. Even over there, they're here.
Yes, and it's really stunning. I mean, most probably your listeners are like me and don't really care that much, but I do think it's sort of a precursor example of what may be happening to us. It's really stunning how much, I wish there were more articles written on this, how much the EU was bossing England around, because it wasn't just on immigration, which was obviously the biggest issue. Yes, you have to fling open your borders to all of these
refugees.
Well, yeah, well, third world Muslims, and ooh, we see how well that's gone if you follow the news. But also just like directing how many fish they were allowed to fish. They imposed anti-bullying regulations in Spain. It's crazy. And gay marriage. It's like our Supreme Court. The EU is like our Supreme Court in the Warren Court era.
Yeah, so, but, you know, somebody said, they spent 50 years building this swamp. You're not going to tear it apart in 2 years. It could take 50 years to dismantle it, if ever. I think the president has to realize that.
Well, I must say, I think he's doing a pretty good job, and he's opening people's eyes.
Yeah.
I think the question is, will Republicans see that this is what the people want? Is the same thing I've said over and over again on immigration. Trump, if nothing else, should have been a little how-to manual for the Republican Party.
Yeah.
These are the popular things to do. Do this.
Well, yeah, but in their defense, they all got their relatives on payrolls of companies and corporations. They don't need this being looked at. Right.
That's true.
Well,
that's true.
Everybody get Ann Coulter's book. If you haven't read it yet, it's the book on all of this. And so even if you're a Democrat, you could learn a lot from this book. It's called Resistance is Futile. It's a big bestseller. If you haven't read it, read it. And the new column comes out tonight.
Yes, it does. It's boffo.
And you should go to AnnCoulter.com. And make sure you follow Ann Coulter on Twitter. Excellent tweets all day long. Ann Coulter on Twitter. Ann Coulter, thanks for being with us.
Good to talk to you, Mark Simone. Bye-bye.
All right, take care. Oh, and check out the webpage. A lot of good stuff up there. Now, everybody, these Trump haters are screaming, the worst president that's destroying our country. We updated this list. It's a list of President Trump's accomplishments. Updated list. Take a look at this. Read this list. This is clearly one of the most successful presidencies ever, despite all the screaming here. Here's a very funny sketch. This is a look at every Californian ever. Also, it's the first president not to have a dog. But they asked the greatest dog expert in the world, what would be the perfect dog for the president, for President Trump? It's all up on the webpage. Go to 710WOR.com/Mark.